little bit while parents are taking their kids down there. So we've been in a series on uniting and building the body of Christ, the family of Christ. Uniting and building, or dividing and destroying, dividing and corrupting, Autumn Church. We've been in 1 Corinthians primarily. I took you through the entire book, showed you it's almost in every single chapter. Uniting, building, dividing, destroying. We came to this part about judging in the church, 1 Corinthians 5. I don't have anything to do with judging outsiders, but in the church, you'd better judge. And Paul just said, don't judge before it's time. And then he qualified it, and he said, I've applied all these things to Apollos and myself that you might learn not to go beyond what's written. So I've made the statement that this whole big banner that the New Testament church in America today is flying, don't judge me, we don't judge, I've made the statement that is absolutely ridiculous. That is absolutely elementary, absolutely even detrimental to the building and the uniting of the church. That stopped some of you kind of cold right there, but I've been presenting my case. I've been presenting my evidence. And what I did then was I took you off the hook and I said, if I'm going to be the pastor, shepherd, leader of some sort, and I'm going to ask you to change the entire direction, and we're going to judge inside the church as we're told to do, that it's got to start with me. So we're not going to judge each other yet. We're going to start judging me. I'm the guy, and Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 7. So we did some comparison between 1 Corinthians, say, 4, 3 in that area, 5 and 6. We're told clearly to judge. In chapter 6, we're said, don't go to court of law. Judge these trivial cases amongst yourself. We are to judge, and it's part of good bodybuilding, good unifying, good doing life together, meshing life together. So many churches today like to come to church on Sunday and then go home to their island and live life by themselves. That is not what the church is to be. But to be unified, to be meshed, is to judge each other biblically in the right way. Don't start there, start here. Today's message is judge me and please Jesus. So that's what we're going to do. And I'm going to walk you through Jesus' teaching on doing that in just a little bit. Here's what we're going to do first. We're going to take communion. And I'm going to use communion as a teaching time. It's going to be first half of the message. And I'm going to show you some stuff that you're going to go, why are you showing me this stuff? That's Greek. I don't take Greek. I don't care about Greek. I don't know. And that's fine. I don't want you to. I just want you to see the difference because I'm still presenting my case. That this whole banner we fly of don't judge is absolutely ridiculous. So this is what we're going to do. So I think in 1 Corinthians, the traditional communion passage in 1 Corinthians 11, Mark has some words. I want to read this passage of Scripture to you before we do it. I'm going to teach you, show you some things. I just want to show you the differences, and there we'll learn and take communion. So these are the words in these few verses I'm going to read about communion. These are all in there. Now, you they mean nothing to you, and I don't want them to, except I want you to see the difference. The first word, krino. That is the standard, generic, across-the-board word for judge in the New Testament. And it has a wide variety of applications to judge, to condemn. I mean, it goes broad. It's a broad, general word for judge. Then you can see the second word. It's similar, dia krino. And that means to judge on steroids. That means We are looking at things very carefully. We have amped up krino to a very precise and concise, detailed type of a judgment. Katakrino, That is a negative judgment. That means I am judging kind of against. I am looking against. I am scrutinizing. And cremo, which is you can see is very similar, that is the result of the judgment. That is the judgment carried out. This is the final verdict, so to speak. That is the result. Those are four different words, all different nuances of judgment in the New Testament, over and over and over and over. And krino simply means this: to evaluate, to distinguish, to divide up in a detailed form for investigation. That's what it means. And so that can be applied in many different ways, but that's all it really means, is to evaluate or distinguish. So when you judge something, you are evaluating, you're weighing the evidence, you're distinguishing right from wrong, you're dividing up the information. Quite honestly, we do it every day. We do it all the time. I mean, we do it at work, we do it at school. When your child comes to you and says, "Hey, the vase got broke in the other room," you go into investigative mode. "Well, where were you, John? Where were you, Sally? Well, I didn't do it. Well, I didn't." And all of a sudden, you become an investigator. And you are judging the evidence. You are weighing it out to see who actually broke that and what would be my cremo, my judgment on this situation. We do it everywhere. We do it all the time. And so what we've got to know about judging in the New Testament, and this is part of my evidence, that it goes from a personal application of judging. Personally, we judge on a one-to-one level, maybe even on myself. We have a courtroom judging in the Bible. We have church judging in the Bible, church judgments in the Bible, and we have God judging in the Bible. And we are told to do some of those. Obviously, we never judge in God's place. He has that judgment. So just to say we don't judge is ridiculous. I can show you verse after verse where we are told to judge, in directly, specifically, 1 Corinthians 5 and 6. So there's a little background for you on judging, on what it means to judge, distinguishing. Now, let me show you. In our passage, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 27, listen as I read the communion passage. "Whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who drinks and eats without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves, truly we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together," this is local church, "when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, like we are, it will not be for judgment. About the other things, I'll give you directions when I come." Now, in this passage, all four of those words are used. In this one passage, all four of those words are used. The first one in verse 29, "For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning." It's that word discerning that is the word diakrino. That means you are very closely detailed. You're judging, that's the word judging, they've translated it discerning. You're judging the body. Anyone who eats and drinks without carefully, precisely judging the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. And then the next one in verse 31, "If we judge ourselves," and that's diakrino again, those two times that word is used. "If we judge ourselves, carefully examine, judge, evaluate ourselves, truly we would not be judged." So discerning and judged, 29 and 30, diakrino. The main word, krino, just the big evaluative word is in verse 31. "If we judge ourselves, we would not be judged," krino. Verse 32, and this is beautiful right here. when we are judged, krino, by the Lord, we're disciplined so that we're not condemned. So the Lord still judges us. And while we're taking communion, if we evaluate closely, look very closely at our lives, and judge ourselves as we take the body and the blood of Christ, we won't be judged by the Lord. But if the Lord does judge us, it's not to condemn us. It's to discipline us, it says, so that we're not condemned with the world. So if you eat and drink, take communion unworthily, you have not judged yourself. You don't realize we are participating in the body and blood of Christ, and I need to look really carefully at myself. He might judge you. And he says, that's why some of you are weak and ill and some of you sleep, because the Lord has judged to discipline, not to condemn, not to throw you into hell or condemn you with the rest of the world. So right here, already I've shown you two, and in verse 32, so that we may not be condemned along with the world, that's katakrino. That's the negative judgment, the condemnation with the world. A different word entirely. Verse 34, if anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so that when you come together, it won't be for judgment. Krimo. It won't be for a judgment. All four words in this same passage of Scripture that we're about to do right now, to take the Lord's Supper. I say to you, it's ridiculous for us to fly a flag and say we don't judge in the church. I was just told to judge myself closely. You in the church, we could have to judge ourselves carefully and closely as we take communion and remember the Lord's body and the blood. The Lord may judge us, but it's for discipline, not for condemnation. Not for condemnation. Praise God. Is that something to be thankful for? The Lord still judges his people, but not to condemn us, to discipline us, to bring us closer to him. That's a beautiful, beautiful teaching right there for the body of Christ, for those of us in Christ. Let me pray and let's take communion. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much. Your word is richer, sweeter than any food I've eaten this weekend. It satisfies my soul deep in. It teaches me about you. I think about you. So Lord, as we remember your body and your blood now, Lord, help us each one to look inside our hearts and to judge ourselves. Lord, we don't want to be disciplined. We want to honor you and glorify you. We are so thankful for what you've done on the cross for us. Thankful for forgiveness, not condemnation, for forgiveness. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. My servers, come forward. Somebody just got volunteered. So if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we invite you. It's called open communion. We invite you, whether you're a member here or not, you're our brother, and we invite you to take communion with us. And I invite you as we pass this out and share this bread together, I invite you to do just what the Scripture said, to evaluate your life and practice things I shouldn't be doing, things I should be doing, to take it in a worthy manner, to remember the body and blood of Christ, what we're doing, what we're thinking here, to evaluate yourself very carefully. But look, you have nothing to fear. He won't condemn you if you're a brother in Christ. He's not going to condemn you with the world. He might discipline you, but he won't condemn you. So fear not. This is good. This is all good. This is beautiful. Would you pass those out for me? Even with that Notre Dame shirt on.
Let's partake together.
Lord, we remember your broken body. We've eaten small pieces of a man-made cracker, but it's representative of your broken body, of your body that was torn. Lord, now even give us grace to judge our bodies. Speak to us deep in our heart. Thank you for your grace and forgiveness. In Jesus' name. There are some interesting things in this passage of Scripture. I'm not going to go there at all. I'd love to break into just a real deep teaching sometime on it. There's so much more here. This, just these few verses just seem to plunge so deep. Why do I share this stuff with you? We're just simple folk. I mean, why do I do this? Because it's my fear that the church in America, with all our intelligence and all our information in the church, we're teaching our people at such an elementary level, and I hold you higher than that. I think you have the ability to be different, to go deeper, to look closer at your Savior. I think it's a tragedy that the church has become so easy and so lazy. And I know what they're afraid of. If I say, yep, this is how we judge, have at it, we're going to eat each other alive. I know what they're afraid of. But in doing so, we miss out on the beauty of doing life together, speaking into each other's life, sharing the love and the beauty of who we are in Christ. I think we're missing something. If Jesus said to do it and we don't, we're missing something. We're the ones hurting ourselves. So I want us to be different, even though we may be small and very common, very normal people. I think we can be very different and shine very brightly for Christ. He's given us His blood. He's sacrificed this much. And if this guy here who shed his blood on the cross says, let's judge each other in the right way, the right time, I'm going to do it. I want to do it. But you're going to start with me. I'm your guinea pig. I'm where it starts. Lord, thank you for your blood. It is everything. It is everything to us. A sinner like me, Lord, it would take seemingly gallons and gallons and gallons of blood to wash all my sin away. And yet a drop of your blood washes us so clean, forgives us of everything. So Lord, teach us. Teach us now how to judge with the grace of the blood, the beauty of the blood. Lord, teach us to be like you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Jesus took the judgment that we deserved. And then he said, now you judge yourselves. Now you take care of yourself. I've taken the big penalty for you. I've died on the cross. I've taken the judgment. It's really coming your way, but that's all right. I wanted to do it. Now you judge amongst yourselves. You keep the house clean. You help each other out. Build each other up. I'll teach you how. I'll show you how. Just get in my word. Let's drink together. Thank you. Please be seated. Judging can be positive or negative or personal or judicial or church or God's. We have to know from each passage, each time, each place, what it's talking about, what he's talking about. And I believe for sure, since in Matthew chapter 7, as we looked at a few weeks ago, Every time Jesus says to judge in the church, judge this, judge that, or he says don't judge, he always qualifies it. Paul qualified it in 1 Corinthians. He said, I've applied all these things to Apollos, and my, that you don't go beyond the scripture. And his judgment was a positive judgment. What it was I don't reward or puff myself up or say I'm a better speaker than Apollos. Some of you are divided over it. You're so puffed up over whether you follow Paul or Cephas or Apollos or even Jesus. And he said, I'm not going there. I'm not giving myself any rewards. I'm not judging myself. Oh, I'm better than Paul. Oh, I'm better than this. I'm not doing any of that until the Lord comes, until it's his time. We don't even judge ourselves by patting ourselves on the back. Don't do that yet. He said, Paul said it. He said, I can't see anything in myself, but that doesn't mean I'm innocent. It's the Lord who looks in our hearts. So just hold off on judging me as superior. That's what Paul said. So our judgments are positive or our judgments are negative. We're just going to hold off. And then he qualifies it and he says, I've written all these things. I've applied them to Apollos and myself that you don't go beyond what's written. Just go beyond. Just stay right there. Am I preaching the word? Have I been faithful? Have I lived the life? And I compared that then to Matthew chapter 7. And Jesus begins the same way in verse 1. That's where I'm going to be this morning. I'm going to walk you through the game plan according to Jesus. How to judge me, not yourselves, me. And I want you to judge me. I'm asking you to judge me Jesus' way. He begins and says, judge not that you be not judged. There it is. Don't judge so that you're not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but you don't notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take that speck out of your eye, when there's a log in your eye, you hypocrite, and here's how he qualifies it. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So he qualifies it. He says, hey, don't judge and you won't be judged. However you judge, it's going to come right back onto you by others. That's how they're going to look at you. That's how they're going to judge you. But I'll tell you what you do. And then he qualifies it. He says, you got to take that big old log out. I like what the message says on this verse, and I'm not really not a fan of the message so much, but it starts Matthew chapter 7 this way. Don't pick on people. Don't jump on their failures and criticize their faults, unless, of course, you want the same treatment. And that's really what Jesus is saying. Don't just randomly just snipe at each other. Don't just randomly every little thing. That's not how you do it, or they're going to do it right back to you. You have a log in your eye. And that's point number one. Time out. I do have a little outline for this. Does anybody here want a little outline, a step-by-stepper? Anybody? You don't have it, but you'd like it? My little elf is going to hand those out. I should have got you a Santa's hat.
I think I won't have enough.
If you see a hand up, give them a step-by-stepper. There's a fill-in-the-blank. I used every drop of creativity I had. I even color-coded it. This is as good as it gets around here, guys. This is as good as it gets. I'm not intelligent. I'm not Dr. Myers. I can't do amazing things with technology and screens. Color, that's as good as I get. All right?
I got two more, and that's it. You have to run some more off.
We're good. Just share. So step number one, judge me. Judge me, right? We're not talking about you just sniping at every little thing I do. Judge me. But first, take the log out of your own eye. And that still doesn't mean you're innocent, because Jesus looks in your heart. But if you first take that log out of your eye, Jesus says very clearly here, it's going to give you sight. And that's critical for me and you to understand that. When we have sin in our own life, it affects our sight. It affects how we see others. He says, take that big nasty out of your eye so you can see to help take the speck out of your brother's eye. You may think you see your brother doing something. It's horrible. But your eyesight may be blurred. Sin blurs our sight. Take it out so you can see. Take that sin. Judge yourself so you can see and understand. Judge yourself, and it'll give you humility to enter into taking the speck out of my eye. If I've got a speck and you want to get it out, take that big nasty out of your eye so you can see, and it'll humble you. That's so often the problem with judging in the church today, is it not? Somebody just walks up to you and boom! There's no humility. There's no cross in it. It's just critical. It's just condemning. Hey, I've seen this. Hey, I've seen this. Hey, I've seen this. It's just judicial. There's no humility of the cross. Take that log out. It'll help you see. It'll give you humility. And Jesus, as he qualifies this, just this little first part right here, he brings us to Galatians 6:1, and we learned about that a couple weeks ago. If you see a brother or sin, or brother or sister caught in a sin, caught up in any trespass, restore him with the gentleness of a surgeon. And that's where Jesus is going here. Rather than being critical, am I caught up in a sin and I need restored? I'm away from the Lord. This is clouding my eyesight. This is clouding my judgment, my humility. My testimony is at stake. Do you want to restore me? That's where Jesus goes. Gives you sight, gives you humility. It gives you a perspective of restoration rather than just condemnation and a critical spirit. If you take that log out first, look at yourself carefully first and know that even if you don't see much there, man, you better get deep inside your heart like Paul did, because he said, that doesn't mean I'm innocent. But the beauty, here's the beauty of this. Here's the beauty of this. And Pastor Jeremy's heard this a bunch probably. You talk to people from this level about judging people. You talk to them about, well, say something to them. You have a friend that's in a bad way, say something to them. Speak up. And you know what you hear back a lot? Well, I've got so much in my life and in my past, I can't say anything to anybody. I just keep it to myself. I'm not going to that. No, I'm not helping my brother. No, because you know me, man, I just got this catalog of stuff in my history. But the Bible tells us to. The Bible tells us to just interlock our lives and touch and help and restore and build and iron sharpening iron. And he said, I just got too much. And what did Jesus just say? Go ahead and take that big nasty log out. I know you've got a history. I know you've got stuff. Last month, last week, 5 years ago, man, you bottomed out, didn't you? Take that log out. And guess what? You're still eligible to go and help your brother. Now go help your brother. We're not disqualified because we have this history of stupidity. My history is bigger than yours. The cross. It's the cross. I'll clean you. I'll forgive you. I'll help remove your log because I want you to help the brothers. We can't give up on this. We can't give up feeding and restoring and helping each other. Even when it's our sin, our log that's been removed. Jesus said, no, you get that log out, you go help your brother. Okay, step one, there it is. First, take that log out. Step two, and this is, let me pause, hit the pause button right here. So this is what I'm going to do, and you're going to go, huh, what? Never heard that before. Okay, so this is what I'm going to do. If you don't believe me, ask Pastor Jeremy. So we call this passage of Scripture, Matthew 5, 6, 7. What do we call it? What's the name? Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount. Coming from a preacher, Sermon on the Mount. We call it a sermon. All right? Right or wrong, we call it a sermon. Went up on the mountain, disciples came to him, he taught them. Here's the problem. My Bible, Matthew 7 alone, has like 7 man-made subtitles. Right? Doesn't yours? You look in your Bible, you got all these little subtitles. And we cherry pick this passage to death. I mean, oh, here's one, boom. Here's one, boom. Here's one, boom. Pluck that out. I'm saying that Jesus was teaching this sermon, teaching, was righteous living and relational living. Righteous living and relational living. I think that's his point. That's what he's teaching. I'm going to show you the big climax of his sermon, the main proposition, thesis of this sermon. We're going to come to it in a minute. I'm saying Matthew chapter 7 all ties in together. Every little sound bite in there goes together into his big teaching, leading us to the big climactic statement that he's coming to. So I'm saying we can take this next little segment here, don't throw your holy things to the pigs, and it's part of this teaching. So, judge me with good sight, humility, with a heart of restoration if I'm really caught up in some sin. Oh, by the way, don't throw your holy things to the pigs. What's that mean and what does that have to do with this? Well, let me use Paul's words. I don't have anything to do to judge outsiders. But those inside the church, you better judge. Don't throw your holy things to the pigs. Don't save your good, juicy, holy, righteous judging. Don't throw it out there to the pigs, the outsiders. Save it for your brothers. That's what he's saying. The pigs and the dogs. Those weren't brothers. That's not terms you use for brothers. It's more like Samaritans, dogs. It's more like those outsiders, the heathen, Gentile. Keep your holy stuff. Just hold on to that holy, sweet teaching you have there. That beautiful, holy thought you have there, that evaluation, you've looked, save it. We have nothing to do to judge outsiders. We have no business judging them. That's how Jesus said it. He is so beautiful and so creative and so poetic. Judge each other. Take the specks out. Restore. You have nothing to do with judging outsiders. Keep it here. That's all he said. That's pretty simple stuff. We soundbite it, and half the church really doesn't even know what the heck he's talking about. But that's what he's saying. Don't judge outsiders. 1 Corinthians 5:12. It will take a little wisdom. It'll take a little take a little moxie, a little discernment. So what's he say next? Ask and it will be given. Seek and you'll find. How am I supposed to judge this? This is a complicated matter going on in your life, Terry. How am I supposed to judge you? You have all this scriptural knowledge. You have all this stuff. Let me just tell you his next step. Never forget to pray about it. Your father's a good, good father. He loves to give good gifts to his children. And like James says, if you lack wisdom, ask. He'll give it to you. So we're going to need a little wisdom as we judge, evaluate, distinguish, do life together. Ask the Father. Be sure and ask the Father. He'll give it to you because he wants us to grow. He wants us to help each other. He wants us to build each other. It's not for dummies. And I don't have it. So I've got to ask my Father. Before you judge me, take the log out. We're just focused on me, not outsiders right now, not picking on every little thing. Pray. Pray. Pray for wisdom. Pray for the heart. Pray for the humility. Pray for a door to open so you can approach this person in the right way instead of just cold cocking them with your holy wisdom. Pray about it. Sit down with them. The approach is so key. Pray about it. Pray how you're going to do it. Pray for their heart to be ripened ahead of time, ready to receive what you have. There's so much to pray for in this. You have a good Father. He'll help you. Don't forget to pray. And I say this in the next little part, your next little sound bite. I say this is where Jesus is heading. I say this next section right here, verse 12, is the key. I think this is where the whole Sermon on the Mount is heading. If you read it, you'll look at it. It's all about righteous living and relational living. Look how many times he talks about others, 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 others. We don't do life in a vacuum. We don't live our faith in a vacuum. It's almost entirely lived out with other people. And so Jesus says, okay, you're gonna do life, you're gonna judge each other, you're gonna feed each other, you're gonna restore. Just in the house, just in the family, you're gonna pray about it. And then my Bible, in all its wisdom, it says the golden rule. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. And I say this is where Jesus is going, and they don't know it yet because they haven't asked it yet, but they're going to. In Matthew 22, they're going to ask him, "Teacher, teacher, what's the greatest commandment?" And Wendy read that to you this morning. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself, for all the law and the prophets hang on this. Sounds real familiar. What you wish others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. I think he just gave them the second greatest commandment on a hillside. He said, this is my whole teaching. The law and the prophets hang on this. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Love others like you would yourself. Second greatest commandment. I think this is where he's going. So you're going to judge me. You're going to take the log out. Take that big old nasty out. You're going to pray about it. You've been humbled. You've asked for wisdom and insight. And then you're going to judge me by treating me with the same care and the same respect and the same dignity that you would want yourself treated with. You're going to fulfill the whole law and the prophets. It all just goes right here. Treat me like you want to be treated. You want to snark at me? Is that how you want treated? That's kind of how he started the passage, isn't it? Judge not, and you won't be judged, for with the judgment you use, it'll be given right back to you. That's what he's telling them. You want to be treated how you treat them. This is where he's coming back to. He's come full circle back to the second greatest commandment. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Judge others. Restore others. Help others. Sharpen iron together. Do life together. Treat them just like you want treated. You like to be gossiped about? Get on the phone and go call. Tell people. Tell people all about this thing that you're going to do. You're going to have to confront them and talk to them. And if that's how you want treated. Care. Respect, godliness. Judge me with the same judgment, the same care, the same respect, the same dignity you would want to be treated. He's just done a full circle. I think this is his big climax. You're shivering in your seat. You're going, oh, dear. This is so hard. I don't think I can do it. I don't think I have the courage. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. This is so hard. You saw that. What do you say next? Gate's big. Way's broad. Leads to destruction. Gate's narrow, path's hard, it leads to life. I know it's hard, but it's the road to life. They can call you narrow. They can call you narrow-minded. I wish I had a dime for every time I've been called narrow-minded. Thank you. Thank you for calling me narrow. Jesus said the gate is narrow. It's narrow through here. The path is hard. It's not easy. I know that, Jesus is saying. I know it, but it leads to life. Keep going. It leads to life. Do life. Do life. Help each other. Hold each other up. Restore each other. Encourage each other. Intermesh. I know it's hard. I know they got problems too. You got enough problems of your own. You don't need. I know it's hard. Leads to life. Leads to life. Hold each other up. Hold your hand. Walk them to life together. That's what he's saying. It's a beautiful teaching. It's amazing stuff. And then Terry shows up right in this passage. There I am. Here's your big teaching. This is how we treat each other. This is the righteous living. This is your relational living. Treat others like you want to be treated. Yeah, judge. Help each other take the speck out. Don't just be critical. Restore. Build. Be a surgeon. Be a doctor. Help. Oh, by the way, while you're doing this, beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are wolves. You'll recognize them by their fruits. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Judge me. I'm not a biblical office prophet, but I do proclaim. If there's an application, it's to me, the preacher. Judge me. He said to, judge me. Start with me. You will know me by my fruit. You will recognize me by my fruit. You have to have eyes to recognize a wolf in sheep's clothing. Judge me. I don't have anything to hide. And I just want to be more like Jesus anyway. You've heard that before. Start with me. I'll absorb it. I'll take it. Beware. Wait. Beware of false prophets. They come to you. They look like sheep. You have to have the sight. The log has to be out. You have to have the sight to recognize them. I don't think so. You're going to make a judgment inside your heart and mind. I don't think so. I don't like. You're going to stay within the scripture. With all humility, judge me. Please, do what your Savior's telling you to do. It has to start here. It has to start here. Verse 21, not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But the one who does the will of the Father, on that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we preach in your name and cast out demons in the name of Jesus and do many mighty works in the name of Jesus? And then will I declare to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you lawless, lawless one. Only those who do the will of the Father. And so we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Apparently preaching in the name of Jesus, casting out demons in the name of Jesus, doing many mighty works. Paul says building your kingdom, your church kingdom there. You're ruling and reigning in your church kingdom. Apparently that's not the will of the Father, what Jesus is talking about. Because Jesus just said, get away from me. Only those who do the will of the Father. Only those who bear the fruit that I want. Those are mine. Those are mine. You're going to have to look at me way beyond that. He preaches in Jesus' name. He does these great mighty works. Look at my fruit. Look at me carefully and closely at the fruit of my life. There's so many people preaching today in the name of Jesus, building kingdoms in the name of Jesus, doing crazy works in the name of Jesus, miracles and healings everywhere in the name of Jesus, and he calls them lawless. Someday I'm going to tell you, get away from me, you wolf in sheep's clothing. Brody, it's your turn. Caleb was here last time I preached this. Now it's you. Brody, listen to me. Every preacher that preaches in the name of Jesus is not legit. I'm telling you that firsthand, okay? Kelly, every person that preaches is not legit. If you hear about them doing something stupid, you're watching the fruit. Okay? You watch the fruit. You recognize them. Everybody speaking in the name of Jesus is not legit. You got to look at the fruit. Judge me. Judge me for your sake and mine. Judge me. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and he beat on that house and it didn't fall because it had been built on a rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a fool. He built his house on sand, and the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall. Man, there's a lot of building going on today in the name of Jesus. There's a lot of church work, a lot of parachurch work, a lot of all, in the name of Jesus, there's a whole lot going on today. If you look at that above ground structure, you go, woo! And it's all about what it's built on. It's all about it. Did you catch what he just said? Those that hear my words and do them. Those that preach my words and do them. And just you hearing the word isn't enough. I know you've been in church every Sunday. You got to do them. You got to build his way. Not our kingdom, the way we want to build, his way. We're building his kingdom. This is the cross kingdom. We're building his kingdom on his words, his way, bearing his fruit, not mine. You're building your house. You're building your family. You're building your church on the rock. And the storms will come. When they come, they will come. How many of you been through a storm? Your life has been through a storm. Yes, you have. And if you haven't yet, the forecast isn't good. Build it on the rock. Hear it and do it. Build it on Jesus. Build it on His Word. Paul said, I've written these things that you don't go beyond what's written. It always goes back to His Word. What He said, what He taught, do it. Do it. When Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at His teaching. He was teaching as one who had authority and not as the scribes. And they judged Him continually, did they not? If you read the Gospels, did they not? From one end to the other, try Him, test Him, evaluate Him. The people, the Pharisees, everybody. Well, surely this is the prophet. No, this isn't the prophet. Well, surely. Well, nobody does that. Well, yes, they do. Well, no, they don't. He never comes from Nazareth. Yes, He does. No, He does. I mean, they were judging Him every step. They were watching Him kind of... They recognize, well, you teach with authority. Do you recognize His authority? I mean, it's one thing to hear it. It's another thing to go, man, that was a great teacher. He taught with authority. It's another thing to follow it and to do it. He does have authority on my life. He does have authority here. He has authority here on this carpet right here. He has authority. It's not enough to hear it. It's you got to do it. That's all they did through the Gospels was judge Him, trying to figure it out. Who is He? Who is He? Who is He? We're done figuring out here, aren't we? He's a Savior, right? He's my Lord. Amen? He lives here. This is His house. So we're going to do what He asks us to do. We're not going to be lawless and just do church the way we want to do it. We're going to do it His way. You're going to judge me. This is great practice for you. Because somewhere down the road, I'm going to tell us, okay, let's start doing life here. Let's start doing life together. Let's start talking to each other. But right now, it's right here, okay? So there's your walkthrough. There's your walkthrough, this whole chapter, how to judge. It's part of righteous relational living. How to build Jesus' way. Question, I put it at the bottom of the sheet. Don't know if you see it. A big question over this whole thing has to be, because the church of today that I know loves the word grace, you have to ask this big question, where's grace in this? Where is grace in this? Well, it's in every step. Take the log out, I'll forgive you. Take the log out, and I'm still going to use you to help your brother. That's grace, right? I'm still usable. I got this big log in my life. I got this big sin. Oh, man, you should have seen the last 5 years of my life, man. I've been partying like it's 1999. Now you say I can be forgiven and be a part of your church and live and breathe and help and sharpen iron. Yeah. That's grace. That's called grace. It's all over this page. Jesus will forgive that log. It's all over this thing. Grace is everywhere. Ask and it will be given you. That's grace. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it'll be open. That's grace. Yeah. You're not too far gone. I don't know what your history is, but I'm telling you, He's saying ask. He'll give you good gifts. Enter by the narrow gate. It's hard, I know it is, but come on in. That's grace. Build on these words of mine. Build your house, build your church, build your family on a rock. That's grace. It's all grace. I'll give you the wisdom to do life, to interlock your lives, to speak to each other, to build. That's grace. It's going to take grace. That's grace. It's everywhere. Say, oh, this is the age of grace. I know it is. Start judging me. It's grace. Judge me with the word and the same respect that you want to receive. build, judge on the rock. So, there it is. Ta-da. Yes, there, if you tell some neighbor, somebody goes to another church, what your preacher's preaching about, they're going to look at you like a Martian, okay? This is not really. And you probably don't have time to sit down and explain it to them, but I hope I've been somewhat persuasive, at least to relook at this whole idea of, we don't judge. You don't live. You're not breathing if you don't judge. I'm just going to tell you. But here's a good start to your Advent season. And this is how I'll close. We're moving into Christmas, starting. Some people call it Advent, preparation, ta-da. Great start, a great gift. Take your log out. Spend some time with Jesus. Take that log out so you can see the birth of the Virgin, the birth of the Savior. Take the log out. This Christmas season, you want to see really clearly this child in a manger. Everything about the appearing of Jesus came with repentance. Who led the way, who prepared the way for this ministry of Jesus? John the Baptist. There was no bigger hellfire and brimstone repentance preacher than John the Baptist. Take the log out. Everything about the Scriptures starts with repentance. So let's start our Advent season that way. Week one, take the log out. I want to see you. I want to be humbled before you. I want to kneel down before the manger. I want to love my brothers and sisters this Advent Christmas season. I can do that much. If I'm not going to judge them, I can sure love my brothers and sisters, but you got to see clearly. Let's begin our Advent season that way. What a gift. What a gift to the cross. Jesus, this is what I'm laying down at your manger. My beautiful log. Oh, I love my log. You can have it. What is it? In your mind, in your heart right now, what's your log? What is it that you know you should have been doing this? You should have been, and you've been dragging your feet, and your log was really just spiritual laziness, procrastination. You make yourself too busy here that you can't do Jesus what he's been asking you to do, and your log is not doing something. Or maybe your log is something. Something you do, it's a habit, it's a problem. It's an annoyance. It's a weight or a sin. Might not be a sin, it might be a weight. So easily besets you. What is it? What's got you? Well, you say it doesn't have you, but really it does. It could be something simple. It could be something really detrimental. What's your log? Don't hang on to that rascal. Lay it before the Christ child. Let's go into this Advent season. Logless. Let's do a little log surgery. Let's welcome the Christ child. Good sight, good hearts.
Stand with us and sing. This is your chance to just surrender it all. As you sing these words, do like Terry said, confess it to the Lord and surrender your log.
I will ever love and trust in you.
When you get real good at judging, it's not going to look anything like judging. It's going to look like love. It's going to look like loving your brother as yourself. Treating your brother the way you want treated. You're not even going to recognize it. They're not even going to call it judging. They're going to say, thank you, I love you, appreciate you. Thanks for speaking in and being part of my life. Jesus knew when to call a whitewashed sepulcher a whitewashed sepulcher full of bones inside. He knows inside what's going on. You might as well just go ahead and open the door and clean that rascal out. We can do life with each other. Graciously and lovingly love our brothers as we love ourselves. Build on the rock. What a great gift. What a great Christmas gift to our Savior. Lord, thank you for your word, for your teaching, for your heart, for your cross, for the blood of your cross. Lord, I pray we've honored you this morning. Speak to us. Work this deep into our soul. It's not easy, but it's a way to life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you, God.